بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، do we have any questions from last time؟ حسين، any
No.
questions؟ Okay، عمر؟
No questions now.
Okay، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So we were discussing the مخالفة. So we were still discussing طعن في الرواية, and one of the things that we mentioned is that مخالفة is a criticism in the رواية, and we looked at different types of مخالفة previously. مدرج is a type of مخالفة, and now we come to the second قسم. Let me see if I find the whiteboard. What I did. No, it's all deleted, everything. Okay, that's fine. So we said that مدرج, إدراج في السند is a type of مخالفة. Now we come to the second مخالفة, which is أو إن كانت المخالفة بتقديم أو تأخير, أي في الأسماء كمر ابن كعب وكعب ابن مر, لأن اسم أحدهما اسم أبي الآخر. So another type of مخالفة is basically flipping. Okay, تقديم أو تأخير, you kind of like swap it. For example, in names, you have Murra ibn Ka'ab and then Ka'ab ibn Murra. You have both of these names. Both of the names are Ruwat of Hadith, they're scholars, but you just need to kind of make sure that you use the right one. So, for example, there's a quite a famous one, Abu Hafs Umar. And then there's another one, which is Abu Umar Hafs. So both of these are available as hadith scholars, but you just need to make sure that it's the right one. And if it's flipped, then this is also a criticism in the isnad. لِأَنَّ إِسْمَ أَحَدِهِمَا إِسْمُ أَبِي الْآخِرِ, because the name of one of them is the name of the father of another one. This is called مقلوب, فهذا هو المقلوب. So this مخالفة of تقديم وتأخير, it happens in name, it is called مقلوب. وللخطيب فيه كتاب رافع الارتياب. So خطيب البغدادي has a book called رافع الارتياب on this subject. But مقلوب or قلب doesn't only happen in names, but it also happens in the matan as well. كحديث أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عند مسلم في السبع الذين يظلهم الله في عرشه, ففيه ورجل تصدق بصدقة أخفاها حتى لا تعلم يمينه ما تنفق شماله. So the hadith of سبعة يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله. One of the riwayat of Muslim is, so now obviously this is not a primary riwayat of Muslim. And therefore, it's fine if they stand in this. He's bringing it as secondary evidence. The hadith where a person does sadaqah in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he hides it so that his right hand does not know what his left hand is stealing, giving. فَهَذَا مِمَّنْ قَلَبَ عَلَى أَحَدِ الرُّوَاتِ. And this is something that one of the ruwats, they kind of flipped it. And the actual hadith is, حتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه كما في الصحيحين, that the riwayat actually is that his left hand does not know what his right hand is spending. So this is the hadith سبعة يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله. The seven types of people will be under the shade of the throne of Allah the day that there is no shade other than the shade of the throne of Allah. And one of them is رجل ينفق في سبيل الله حتى لا يعلم شماله ما ينفق يمينه وحتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه. This is the actual hadith. But here, Imam Ibn Hajar is saying some ruwats have done qalb and they said that their right hand does not know what the left hand is spending. I mean, it's immaterial as far as the message is concerned because the message is talking about giving sadaqah in a very discreet manner. However, the hadith from a hadith point of view is maqlub. Okay, فهذا كما في الصحيحين. So does that make sense? So you'll get this تقديم and تأخير sometimes where the rewards, the kind of mistake and they kind of flip it. Yeah, I don't know if I've got any more examples. Let's have a look. No, I don't have any more examples. So that's the second kind of mukhalafa. Now we come to the third kind of mukhalafa. أو إن كانت المخالفة بزيادة راو في أثناء الإسناد ومن لم يزدها أتقن ممن زادها. فهذا هو المزيد في متصل الإسناد. Now if there is a mukhalafa by adding one extra rawi in the isnad, and the one who has not done ziyada, the one who did not add an extra rawi in the isnad, is much more authentic than the one who has included it. This is called al-mazid fi muttasil al-asanid. This is different from, you know, we've discussed ziyadatul thiqa. Ziyadatul thiqa is when a thiqa rawi is making an addition. Okay, so but here it is not the thiqa rawi who's making the addition; it is a weak rawi, and so in a way, it also is a part of munkar, because remember, munkar is when a weak rawi does mukhalafa of a strong rawi. Then this hadith is called munkar, and the riwayat of the strong rawi is called ma'ruf. Here they're alluding to a more specific type of munkar, which is that if there is a ziyada in the isnad, and the person who's doing ziyada in the isnad, so they added an extra name in the isnad, then and the person who didn't add an extra name in the isnad, that person is so we're talking about two different narrations or two different isnads. That the person who didn't do the ziyada is more thiqa, then this is called al-mazid fi muttasil al-asanid. But there is a condition here for a ziyada in the isnad to be counted as a criticism. Okay, not all ziyada are counted as criticism. Some ziyadas are tolerated. For example, the ziyada of a thiqa. So what is the condition? The condition is وَشَرْطُهُ أَن يَقَعَ التَّصْرِيحَ بِالسِّمَاعَ فِي مَوْضِعِ الزِّيَادَةِ وَإِلَّا فَمَتَى كَانَ مُعَنْعَنًا مَثَلًا تُرُجِّحَتْ الزِّيَادَةِ. The condition is that there is a specific mention of audition where فِي مَوْضِعِ الزِّيَادَةِ, where there is ziyada. Okay, so what does that mean? It basically means that in the place where the weak rawi has added an extra person in the narration or in the isnad, in the isnad of the one who is atqan, who is more authentic, that person has to say بالتصريح that سمعت, okay, I have heard from so and so person. So let me give you an example, write it down so it's easier to understand. Okay, so we have, let's say, isnad number one. Right, this one has ziyada in it. Let's say there is start from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sahabi, tabi'i, right, ziyada. This is an extra person in the isnad of the weak narrator that is not found in the isnad of the strong narrator. So narrator, let's call them rawis, Rawi. This is the isnad two of the strong narrator. We have the Prophet, we have Sahaba, we have Tabi'i, and then we have Rawi. Right? This Rawi here has to say Sami'tu. Sami'tu an tabi'i. They have to say Sami'tu an tabi'i in order for the isnad one where the ziyada is occurs, in order for that to be declared as a ta'an, as a criticism, as a weak isnad. If the strong rawi basically doesn't say sami'tu, but says something like an, right? Rawi an at-tabi'i, then there is a possibility that the ziyada is to be accepted. So the shart is, in order for a ziyada to be declared a weak isnad, okay, the atqan arawi has to do tasrih of sima' in the mawdi' of the ziyada, okay, that he has to do tasrih of the tabi'i. If he's heard directly from the tabi'i, then it basically means that ziyada is problematic. Does that make sense? I'll give you some examples of that. But have you understood just the theory?
Yes.
Yes.
The reason why is because there is a possibility that this rawi here, so this rawi here is the same person we're talking about. Yeah. This rawi here, there is a possibility that he heard it twice. He heard it once directly from the tabi'i, or he heard it through this person here. That is a possibility. It does happen sometimes. So we want to kind of get rid of all kind of possibilities. So let's see if I have any examples. Okay. مثاله ما روي عن عبد الله بن المبارك قال حدثنا سفيان عن عبد الرحمن بن يزيد بن جابر قال حدثني بصر بن عبيد الله قال سمعت أبا إدريس يقول سمعت واثل بن الأسقى رضي الله عنه يقول سمعت أبا المرصد الغنوي يقول سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تجلسوا على القبور ولا تصلوا إليها فذكر سفيان في هذا الإسناد زيادة ووهم وهكذا ذكر أبي إدريس. So basically saying that this this mention of Sufyan here and this mention of Abu Idris here, both of these are ziyada in the isnad. Actually, the hadith is supposed to be, if we start from here, ma ruwiya an Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak an Abdurrahman ibn Yazid ibn Jabir. Okay, so this interpolation of the name of Sufyan, that is mazid fi muttasil al-sanad. أَمَّا الْوَهْمُ فِي ذِكْرِ سُفْيَانَ فَمِمَّنْ دُونَ إِبْنِ الْمُبَارِكِ. So the question is, who is it that is adding that extra name, Sufyan? Is it Abdullah ibn Mubarak? So we basically, see where I got this from. I don't know where I got this from now. I'll have to look up the source. So, yeah, so the ziyada has been done by somebody lower than Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, not Abdullah ibn Mubarak himself. أَمَّا الْوَهْمُ فِي ذِكْرِ سُفْيَانِ فَمِنْ دُونَ إِبْنِ الْمُبَارَكِ لِأَنَّ جَمَاعَةَ ثِقَاتٍ رَوَوْهُ عَنِ إِبْنِ الْمُبَارَكِ عَنْ إِبْنِ جَابِرِ. The reason why is because so many other people, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak has got mutaba'at in his students, that so many students have narrated from him without the mention of Sufyan. So it is somebody other than Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak who's doing the ziyada, and because that person is not as strong, then this addition of Sufyan is basically known as Mazid fi Muttasil al-Isnad. So this is when عمر and حسين علوم الحديث gets quite complicated. It's not only about looking up the names of people in a book like Tahzib al-Tahzib or Taqrib al-Tahzib and seeing that the thiqa thiqa and then kind of seeing that is the sanad muttasil or not. That's only three of the conditions of the sahih. This waham, this mazid fi muttasil al-isnad is also a waham, and the waham is a part of the ilal. So these kind of things is very, very important. A person who immerses themselves in hadith will know whether Sufyan here is actually a part of the isnad or is that a idraj interpolation by somebody else, and because it's mazid, it's ziyada, then it becomes it's an ilal, it's a waham, it's a mukhalafa. Does that make sense? So this is the bit that a lot of people, when it comes to ulumul hadith, even myself, it's very difficult unless you have immersed yourself in hadith. And this is one of the mistakes that Sheikh Nasiruddin al-Albani made, where he is just looking at the three, which is adalat al-rawi, dabt al-rawi, and ittisal al-sanad. But the shuzuz and the illa, to kind of detect them takes a lifetime of immersion in hadith studies. Yeah. Any questions before we move on?
No.
Okay, so did you understand this? وشرط أن يقع التصريح بالسماع في موضع الزيادة وإلا فمتى كان معنعنا مثلا ترجحت الزيادة. But when there is the hadith is معنعن, then the زيادة will be given preference, given that the زيادة is done with سماع. Okay, so there's a lot of things that needs to be taken into consideration. And a lot of these things the ulama have written. You need to go to the books of Ilal to kind of just read them. But even the books of Ilal require kind of deep studying. You need to kind of like very carefully. It's like you're dealing with so many numbers. And you just have to carefully find patterns. Yeah. So that was... number three. So this is we're talking about mazid fi muttasil. So we've already done mudraj, we've done maqlub, we've done al mazid fi muttasil al asanid. Now we are looking at aw kanat al mukhalafa bi ibdalihi ay al rawi wala murajjiha li ahadin li ihda al riwayatayn ala al ukhra fa hadha huwa al muttarab. And the fourth mukhalafa is of changing the rawi, changing some things in the isnad or in the hadith, and wala murajjiha li ihda riwayatayn ala al ukhra, and there is no tarjih of one riwayat over another, fahada huwa al mustarab, then this is this is called مضطرب وهو يقع في الإسناد غالبا وقد يقع في المتن. This normally happens in the إسناد, but it can also happen in the متن. So for example, the hadith of Abu Hudhafa رضي الله تعالى عنه on basically the نفق الروح or the ensoulment, where one version of the riwayat basically says that the angel comes and blows the ruh into the womb of the mother at 40 days of gestation. Another hadith, a version of that same hadith, says 41 days of gestation. Another one says 42 days of gestation. Another one says 43 days of gestation. Then 44 days of gestation and 45. We've got all of these five versions of the same hadith. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Tuhfatul Mawlud, he basically says we reject this on the basis that the hadith is muttarab and there is no murajjih, there is no tarjih to privilege one riwayat over the other, whereas we take the second hadith by another Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where that hadith is quite clear that the ruh is blown into the womb at 120 days of gestation. So the hadith which is 140 days or hadith of 40 days of gestation is muftarab. It's the same hadith but it's got 40, 41, 42, 43, 44 or 45 days. And because there's no tarjih over one over the other, the ulama, at least Ibn al-Qayyim, he rejects that. So this is called mustarab, where there is some kind of problems and you are not able to kind of privilege one over the other. See if I have any examples. This is on the isnad, but we leave that for the time being. So, ولكن قل أن يحكم المحدث على الحديث باستغراب بالنسبة إلى اختلاف في المتن دون الإسناد. However, very seldom is a muhaddith declared to be a mustarib when there is ikhtilaf in the matn, primarily istirab in the isnad is the thing that declares somebody to be weak, or at least is derived to be weak. Why that is, I don't know. I need to kind of look it up. وَقَدْ يَقَعُ الْإِبْدَالُ. So now he's finished that. He's told us what istirab is, and istirab primarily happens in the isnad and not in the matan. He's going to basically go with some tangents now. وَقَدْ يَقَعُ الْإِبْدَالُ عَمَدًا لِمَنْ يُرَادُ اخْتِبَارُ حِفْظِهِ امْتِحَانًا مِنْ فَاعِلِهِ كَمَا وَقَعَ لِلْبُخَارِيِّ وَالْعُقَيْلِ وَغَيْرِهِمَا. And sometimes إِبْدَال, changing, okay. So إِبْدَال is different from مَقْلُوب. مَقْلُوب basically means just flipping. Things are just kind of crisscrossed. إِبْدَال is basically changes in so many different places. Does that make sense? That's the difference. Ibdal is changes in different places, whereas maqlub is just basically kind of confusing or flipping. Yeah. So for example, Ka'b ibn Murra, Murra ibn Ka'b. So in that sense, ibdal is more wider than maqlub. Maqlub is a specific type of ibdal. Yeah. وَقَدْ يَقَعُ الْإِبْدَالُ عَمَدًا. And sometimes this ibdal changing, badal, is done purposely to test the hifz retention power of a scholar, imtihana min fa'ilihi, kama waqa'a lil Bukhari wal Uqayli wa ghayrihima, the way that it happened with Imam al Bukhari and Imam al Uqayli and others. Remember Imam the famous story that is mentioned about Imam al Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, that when he first went to Nishapur, people wanted to test him to see how much knowledge he has, and they basically messed up the isnad and the hadiths, and they gave him 100 hadiths and said, "I don't recognize any of them." But do you remember that very famous story?
Yeah.
وَشَرْتُهُ أَلَّا يَسْتَمِرَّ عَلَيْهِ. The condition, so it's jais to do that in an exam, right? For examination purpose. So if I was to set you an exam and I basically mess up the isnad and mess up the hadith so that to test your knowledge, then this is permissible. However, the shart is أَلَّا يَسْتَمِرَّ عَلَيْهِ, that one does not carry on doing that continuously. That's kind of an obvious point, isn't it? بَلْ يَنْتَهِ بِإِنْتِهَى الْحَاجَةِ. But one should stop, or it should stop once the necessity for doing that stops. فَلَا وَقَالِ إِبْدَالُ عَمَدًا لَا لِمَصْلَحَةٍ بَلْ لِلْإِغْرَابِ مَثَلًا فَهُوَ مِنْ أَقْسَامِ الْمَوْضُوعِ. And if a person does إبْدَال purposely without any reason or maslaha for doing that, but the only purpose is to woo people and to astonish people by, you know, bringing coming up with hadiths which are unique, then and the person is doing that purposely, فَهُوَ مِنْ أَقْسَامِ الْمَوْضُوعِ. This is a type of fabricating. Although it's not fabrication, because all the person is doing is messing up within the same hadith, but still, because you're messing up with the hadith purposefully, this is a type of mawdu'. فَلَوْ وَقَعَ غَلَطًا. And if it happens as a mistake, and you know, so many people can narrate a hadith and they might make a mistake, and in the mistake they might do ibdal, فَهُوَ مِنَ الْمَقْلُوبِ أَوِ الْمُعَلَّلِ. So either this is maqloob or it is mu'allal. I mean, mu'allal, like I said, illa or ilal is a kind of a generic term of anything, any kind of problem which does not fit in to these kind of categories. So it's basically capturing the uncategorized problems. right? So as I told you, that there is a very close relationship between illah and everything that is being mentioned here. There's a close relationship between ibdal and maqlub. I told you maqlub is a specific type of ibdal. So these are categorizations which the ulama have made, and they refine them and nuance them. We shouldn't really get bogged down into these kind of categorizations. For teaching purposes, we should know, but it's not really a big deal if you basically call a maqluba ibdal or an ibdal a maqlub, because at the end of the day, both of them are weak. Yeah, and Imam Ibn Salah, he himself basically says in his 65 categorization of ulum al-hadith, he says, I can carry on doing that ad infinitum, but I'm just going to add much more kind of categories. I personally feel that there are kind of too many categories, and we can lump all of these categories within, kind of broader categories, and we don't need that much of a kind of a granular detail, because that just confuses more and more. Any questions before we move on?
Well, you said ibdal, and so ibdal is just another word or another term for mustarib, or is mustarib the classification, and ibdal is just like description of,
Ibdal is the action, and mustarab is the hadith. The hadith mustarab. The mustarib is the person who's doing it. Yeah. So, for example, lying is the action, and the hadith where the lie has been taken place, then that's called mawdu'. So, ibdal is the action, and mustarab is the classification of the hadith. Yeah. That make sense? Yeah.
Yes.
Number five, أو كانت المخالفة بتغيير حرف أو حروف مع بقاء صورة الخط في السياق، فإن كان ذلك بالنسبة إلى النقط فالمصحف، وإن كان بالنسبة إلى الشكل فالمحرف. Now this is coming on to orthography of writing, that there is a mukhalafa, and what is that mukhalafa? This mukhalafa relates to changing of letters, yeah, aw huruf, changing of letters, or one letter or huruf, but the skeleton remains the same. So if it's to do with changing of dots and things like that, or then that is called musahhaf or tasheef, and is if it's to do with binisba ila shakli, if it's to do with changing the entire structure of how that word looks like, then this is called muharraf. So we have, for example, remember this is talking about a period where they didn't have Arabic language. As far as the Arabic language writing is concerned, in the early period of Islam, there was only 17 letters of the alphabet, right? As far as writing is concerned, as far as vocalization is concerned, there's 28, but as far as writing is concerned, there were 17 letters. So you can write alif, right? Alif, ba, ta, sa, right? So you can have this as alif, ba, ta, tha, jim, ha, kha, dal, dal, ra, za, sin, shin, swad, dad, twa, wa, ain, ghain, fa, qaf, kaf, lam, meem, yeah, so on. So this is how the Arabic language was. So we have a hadith where man sama sittatam min shawwal, sittan. Sitta min shawwal. If you're to write this without the nuqat, it will be, right? Now, this sittan can either be sittan or it can either be shay'an. Yeah, shay'an if you read it with the qirat without the hamza. And this is how some people have done it. Man sama sittan min shawwal or man sama shay'an min shawwal. Right? Whoever fast some of shawwal. This is shay'an is muharraf. Okay? Because the sorry, musahhaf because of the nuqtas in different places. Does that make sense? Let me
Yes.
see. I think I've got a few more. I did have a few more. Right. So we have here we have tasrif fil matan mithaluhu ma rawahu Abdullah ibn Lahia an kitab Musa ibn Uqba ilayhi bi isnadi an Zayd ibn Thabit anna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ihtajama fil masjid faqad tasahhafa alayhi wa innama huwa birra ihtajara fil masjid bi khas aw hasir hujratan yusalli fiha ihtajara ittakhadha hujratan فصفحه ابن لهيعة أو لهيعة لكونه أخذه من كتاب بغير السماع. So here we have the word the ابن لهيعة narrates that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he did حجامة in the masjid, but actually the hadith is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he what's the word احتجر is skim, you know, like in building, we say skimming with the plaster. Yeah. We're saying skimming with the plaster. Yeah. Or Omar, do you have that? Do you have that
Don't know
in
this word,
America?
Sheikh. No.
You know, when you, okay, you know, like in rural places like Bangladesh and Pakistan, in the villages, people get mud and they basically put mud on the houses, skimming it. That in British English is called skimming. This is called
Okay.
ihtajara. So ihtajara fil masjid bi khassin aw hasid hujratan yusalli fiha. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he so there's two meanings. One is that he skimmed it with you know limestone and other kind of you know like mud and things like that. Or ihtajara fil masjid can mean that the Prophet sallallahu took a room in the mosque himself. Like a hujra, so both meaning is possible. But Ibn Lahi'a, because he did not take it sima'an, he did not orally receive that. Rather, he received it, you know, from reading. He misunderstood. So why can you misunderstand this from reading? The reason why is because, as I mentioned, we don't have computer generated fonts. You know, before they had. Writing, which was not everybody's writing was very good. But if you have ihtajara and ihtajama, so we have ihtajama, yeah, ihtajama, and you have ihtajara, yeah. If you were to write this fast, right, like this without the dots, very easily. Somebody can mistake this as either ihtajara or ihtajama. It's actually ihtajara, but Ibn Lahi'a read it as ihtajama. So you can see that it's very subtle. If the scribe didn't have a very good handwriting, they could have done something like this, right? And that's a ra, but Ibn Lahi'a thought it was ihtajama. That is called musahhaf. Does that mean, because he hasn't changed the shakl is still the same, but it just made a mistake in reading the shakl. Yeah. ومثل حديث النهي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الحلق قبل الصلاة في الجمعة صفحه كثير من المحدثين ورواه الحلق قال القتابي قال لي بعض مشايخنا لم أحلق رأسي قبل الصلاة نحو من 40 سنة بعدما سمعت هذا الحديث. Right. So this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam refrained from having halaqas in the mosque before Jum'ah because people are coming from Jum'ah, halaqa study circles. So many muhaddithun, they made a mistake of reading this, and rather than reading as halaq, they read it as halq, which basically means shaving. And as Imam Abu al-Ma'ali, Abu Sulaiman al-Khattabi says, one of his mashayikh said that I did not shave my head for 40 years before coming to the Jum'ah. That's tasheef. Does that make sense?
Yes, I just have one question, Sheikh.
Yeah.
I thought when we were learning about when they read it from when they take it from the books that the Sheikh would read the book from the book when the other person would write it, right?
Yes, but sometimes they just kind of read a book and not take it directly from the Sheikh, or sometimes the Sheikh might just give them ijazah and say everything that I've written in this, I've given you this book, it's permissible for you to do riwayat. So now this
Got
person
it.
is now reading on his own,
And they just hand over the book.
Yeah, with the ijazah.
Would that
or
be on in the if you read it in like a hadith book? They would not say sami'tu or haddathana, right? They would say an for something like that, correct?
If they found it in a book and they were given the book by the author, then that's going to come later on. They'll say ajazani or katabani or something, nawalani or something like that. Does that make sense?
Got it. Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay. Example of muharraf. Muharraf is when the actual skeleton of the word, not only the nuqat are changed. Hadith Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, rumiya ubayyu yawm al-ahzab ala akhilihi fakawahu rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Ubay was a spear was thrown on his I think kahal is kind of like midsection, and the Prophet says and cauterized him. Gundar, who is a hadith scholar, he did tasheef of that. وَقَالَ فِيهِ أَبِي بِالْإِضَافَةِ وَإِنَّمَا هُوَ أُبَيُّ بْنُ كَعْبٍ وَأَبُو جَابِرٍ كَانَ قَدْ اسْتَشْهَدَ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ بِأُحُدٍ كَذَا ذَكَرُ الْجَزَرِي. So the Gundar basically says Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu قال رُمِيَ أَبِي يَوْمَ الْأَحْزَابِ. يوم الأحزاب, remember, أحزاب happened in so this is the in the fourth Hijri, but Jabir ibn Abdullah's father died in the Battle of Uhud, which happened in the third Hijri. So it was Gundar who made a mistake and he did idafa, and then it's Abi, but actually the riwayat is Ubay ibn Ka'ab. So here, basically, the I mean, there is a difference of I mean, it looks like that here they interchangeably use the word muharraf and musahaf. Musahaf is primarily when there is problems in the dot, and muharraf is when they change the hurufs. So hurufs and also the shakl itself. So you can see clearly Abi and Ubay is two different things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Where are we? I'm sure it's going back quite a bit. Okay. ومعرفة هذا النوع مهمة وقد صنف فيه العسكري والدارقطني وغيرهما. So Imam Darqutni and Imam Al-Askari have written books on Muharraf. and مصحف، وأكثر ما يقع في المتون وقد يقع في الأسماء التي في الأسانيد. So most of the time it happens in the matan, and it sometimes it can also happen in names as well. For example, somebody called Salim and Sulaim, you know, so there can be a mistake over that. Primarily, Musahaf and Muharraf happens when somebody is reading a book on their own without the oral kind of commentary of the teacher. Yeah, so this is why it primarily happens. I mean, Imam Ibn Hajar, rahmatullahi alayhi, later on, he is going to critique Khatib and others on some major mistakes that they've made in writing some books, because they kind of took it from another book and didn't kind of realize the actual vocalization of that. Whereas Imam Ibn Hajar, he says that he developed a new strategy. So this happens when you are doing something without the assistance of a teacher. Yeah. وأكثر ما يقع في المتون وقد يقع في الأسماء التي في الأسانيد ولا يجوز تعمد تغيير صورة المتن مطلقا. Now that discussion of number five, Musahaf Muharraf, is finished. He is doing some tangents here. Okay. He says it is not permissible to purposely change the matan. No, absolutely, you're not allowed to do that. ولا الاختصار منه بالنقص. You're not allowed to also truncate it by chopping off parts of the hadith. ولا إبدال اللفظ المرادف باللفظ المرادف له. And it is not permissible to change the one word with a synonym of that word. Okay. Remember, this is all, it doesn't matter now. All of this, need to remind you, all of this is في عصر التدوين. When the hadiths were collected and they were being written in books. Okay. Now, if you say another different word, then it doesn't really matter because the hadith won't change. But previously, if somebody was doing riwaya bil ma'ana and they were changing the words, that changed word then gets transmitted as a part of the hadith. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
ولا إبدال اللفظ المراد باللفظ المرادف له إلا لعالم بمدلولات الألفاظ, except for the person who knows the nuances and connotations and denotations of words. وبما يحيل المعالي and the different meanings على الصحيح في المسألتين, according to the most sahih opinion in these two issues. Basically, saying only a person who is an imam of luqa, who is imam of hadith, and who knows the nuances and the connotation and the denotation of words, then they are the ones who are able to kind of tamper is a bad word, but to change things in hadith. Why would somebody need to change something in a hadith anyway? Yeah, that's a question to you.
It might be to do with promoting your relevant group, or
no. This is not about wada. We're not talking about he's not talking about wada here, or promotion, or agenda driven, like somebody's fabricating at this. It's somebody like Imam al-Bukhari is very famous for what is known as taqti' al-hadith. Taqti' al-hadith means he cuts off hadiths, he breaks them up into small chunks. Why do you think somebody would do that?
Okay, to make a relevant point, or to highlight a particular masala or something like that.
Yeah, because the hadith might be 3 pages long, but he just needs two or three sentences for there, from there. So in his mind, it's silly to kind of like for people to wade through 2 pages every single time he needs to prove this masala. So he just kind of truncates it. And he's quite an imam in that. Imam Muslim doesn't do that, but Imam Bukhari does that quite a lot. Yeah. So it's because of brevity, really. And as far as changing the hadith is in the sense of using different muradif synonyms, then it's probably to do with a kind of that not everybody can remember the hadith is word for word, so they pass it on riwaya bil ma'na. أما اختصار الحديث فالأكثرون على جوازه بشرط أن يكون الذي يختصره عالما. As for truncating, doing مختصر of hadith, then الأكثرون على جوازه. Everyone is فالأكثرون على جوازه. Everyone agrees to it بشرط أن يكون الذي يختصره عالما. With the condition that the person who is doing the اختصار, the summarizing, is an عالم. لأن العالم لا ينقص من الحديث إلا ما لا تعلق له بما يبقيه منه. Because an عالم does not just truncate a hadith, but other than what he requires, and he truncates the bit that he does not require. بحيث لا تختلف الدلالة, in the sense that the meaning of the hadith students saying is changed, ولا يختل البيان, and there isn't any discrepancies in the explanation of the hadith, حتى يكون المذكور والمحذوف بمنزلة خبرين, to the extent that what is mentioned and what is not mentioned can actually function as two hadiths. أو يدل ما ذكره على ما حذفه, or the thing that has been mentioned indicates that there is also text missing here. بخلاف الجاهل, as opposed to the جاهل, فإنه قد ينقص ما له تعلق كترك الاستثناء, that the جاهل might get rid of certain things which does have a connectivity to the hadith. For example, he might be getting rid of the استثناء. So he says إلا, right? He might say the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said everyone does so and so. So he might basically say, like here we've got the عبارة, وأكثر ما يقول ولا يجوز تعمد تغيير سورة المتن مطلقا ولا اختصار منه بالنقص ولا إبدال اللفظ المراد باللفظ المرادف له. And then if you truncate it here and you miss out إلا, then it basically means that it's not permissible for anyone. A jahil might not know that, and he might basically truncate it in those places where the meaning completely changes. And this is why we find in the Quran, the kind of South African print, Hindustani print, which is called the Majidiyah print, we have all of those rumuz, awqaf Quran, the Sa'd, the Ta, the Za, the Lam, the Jim. These are basically telling you, okay, you can stop here and you can't stop here. If you stop here, the meaning is going to change. So it's the same thing here in Hadith as well, but only they don't put those things. It's only the alim can do this. What is very interesting is that the hadith of innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat comes in Sahih al-Bukhari 7 times. Yeah. And Imam Bukhari narrates it through 7 different shuyukhs, through 7 different isnads. The very first one, which he narrates through Humaydi, his teacher, Zubair al-Makki, in that hadith, we see that there is a text missing in the very first hadith of Sahih Bukhari. إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فمن كانت هجرته إلى دنيا يصيبه. Let's have a look. There is a text missing, which is basically on. Let's have a look. Bookmarks. حدثنا الحميدي عبد الله بن الزبير قال حدثنا سفيان قال حدثنا. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
حدثنا الحميدي عبد الله بن الزبير قال حدثنا سفيان قال حدثنا يحيى بن سعيد الأنصاري قال أخبرني محمد بن إبراهيم التيمي أنه سمع لقمة بن وقاص الليثي يقول سمعت عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه على المنبر قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى. ومن كانت هجرته إلى دنيا يصيبها أو امرأة أو إلى امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. This hadith is مختصر. Imam Bukhari has done اختصار of this hadith. The full hadith is فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله. ومن كانت هجرته إلى دنيا يصيبها أو امرأة أو إلى امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. So the bit on فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله is missing in this riwaya. In all other six riwaya of this hadith, in Kitab al-Nikah and you know other places of this hadith, this is not missing. This line is not missing. Even Abdullah ibn Zubayr al-Humaydi also has his Musnad al-Humaydi. If we look in there, then it's not missing. If we look at all of the narrators that come after Imam al-Bukhari, who's got this isnad, this ibarat is not missing. So the ulama are pretty sure that it is Imam al-Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi, who actually got rid of that particular line. Because when we do the comparison, the mutaba'at, the shawahid, and when we do all of the turuq, we find that everybody mentions it other than Imam al-Bukhari in this first riwayat. So it is Imam Bukhari who is dropping that line from Ankanat hijratu ila Allahi wa rasulihi fa hijratu ila Allahi wa rasulihi. Imam Ibn Hajar and others, they explain the reason why is because the hadith of innama al-a'malu bin niyat, yeah, the hadith of innama al-a'malu bin niyat functions as a muqaddima to the Sahih al-Bukhari. And in the Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi starts this his book by saying innama al-a'malu bin niyat wa innama, that everyone that actions are according to intentions, that before we read hadith, we need to sort our intentions out. But then Imam al-Bukhari, he gets rid of that فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. He gets rid of that because, this Ibn Hajar says, that because it may be that Imam al-Bukhari feels that he is bragging, that look people, you know, I am doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore my niyyah is for the sake of Allah, therefore you know, I will get the thawab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It feels like there is kind of a boasting, you know, you know, there's this, you can be arrogant and boastful in your tawadu', in your humility as well. So Imam al-Bukhari didn't want anybody to point a finger at him to basically say, look, in his ikhlas, he is also kind of bragging and boasting, and therefore he actually takes that out so that nobody attacks him. Now, we don't really know if Imam Bukhari did it for that purpose, but this is what the ulama have explained, you know, that this is why he does it. Yeah, so this is a classic of taqti' or ikhtisar al-hadith. Now we've gone to the end. All right, shall we stop here? Are there any questions?
No questions.
Okay. Hussein, do you have any questions?
Sorry, well, just give me 1 second. I'm just quickly going through my notes. I think I had a question.
Okay.
I'm recording your chart from last week. You mentioned there's mukhalifa, and then you've got taghir siyaq, and then from there you've got the two types of idraj in sanad and idraj in matan.
So yeah. So taghir siyaq is a type of mukhalifa. So mukhalifa is the wider, and then you have taghir siyaq, and then taghir siyaq is idraj fil isnad. So taghir siyaq is called mudraj. Mudraj is two types, which is mudraj fil isnad and mudraj fil matan. Yeah.
Yep. So we've covered that, and then today we did mukhalifa bi taqdim and ta'khir, so that's maqloob, and then we did the ziyada fi rawi fi ithna'i sanad, so that's mazid muttasil sanad, and then just now we did muttarad.
We've done Mustarab. Also, we've done Muharraf and Musahaf. Okay, and we are on Musahaf and Muharraf, but he's gone on a tangent now. Yeah.
So in that chart you showed us last week, you didn't have Musahaf and Muharraf.
Yeah. So that chart was just written quickly.
Okay. Okay.
It was
not.
It
was not kind of, you know, conclusive and decisive list. It's just four of the types you mentioned in that chart. There's
yeah,
more.
Yeah, yeah. It was just quickly I mentioned it. It wasn't precise. Yeah.
Okay. Shukra, thank you.
Okay. Jazakumullah khair. I'll see you next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Inshallah.